Taking stock of the people's State of the Union. Good morning and live from Studio 5. This is First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for listening. I'm Melissa Ross, and we are always live at 9. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or through the WJCT app. Just ahead, hear about a national project coming to town, collecting the stories of local residents as they reflect on the state of the nation. You can give your thoughts right now at 549-2937. Then later, reducing your heart disease risk. And keep listening as we welcome comedian Paul Rodriguez and his son. All of that and more ahead this morning. But first this hour, it's known as the People's State of the Union. In January of most years, the president delivers a State of the Union address, highlighting the past year and suggesting priorities for the next one. But since democracy is a conversation, not a monologue, the U.S. Department of Arts and Culture last year started hosting its own State of the Union. But this play takes place everywhere, in homes, churches, and community groups all over the country, including right here on the First Coast, it turns out. Now, Atlantic Beach artist Yvette Hyatt-Adams was recently appointed regional envoy of the USDAC, and as President Trump prepares to address a joint session of Congress next month, story circles will take place in our area first. So what's this all about, and how can you be part of it? Let's find out now as we welcome that envoy, Yvette Hyatt-Adams, to the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. How are you?
Good, thanks. And here's our question to callers. In his first 100 days, President Trump is already taking a series of actions radically different from that of his predecessor, Barack Obama. What do you think about the new administration so far? Do you like what's happening? Dislike it? What are your questions about the people's State of the Union? Give us a call, 549-2937. That's 549-2937. Or tweet the show at Melissa and Jack. Send your emails to firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Or weigh in on our Facebook page. We want to hear from you any way you want to get in touch with us. So you are a new regional envoy or envoy to this, what's called a people-powered grassroots movement. What is the People's State of the Union all about?
Oh, great question, Melissa. Yes, this is actually our third State of the Union, People's State of the Union. And we gather in small story circles across the country locally, and then we upload our stories on a national platform. So that's very exciting. We have four sites and five story circles that are going on here in Jacksonville from the 28th through the 4th of February. So what people can expect is really to participate in these circles, to have conversations. We have a story prompt that we'll ask people. I won't give the story prompt over the air because I want that to be a surprise. But
you're prompted with a leading question of some kind. Okay.
Absolutely. And that'll get people into a story. And I want to emphasize story. It's not an opinion. It's about, I was walking down the street one day with my friend Melissa, and we were talking about, and then there goes the story. A story has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's the kind of thing that we're looking for, because we want people to have heart-to-heart connections.
This started a year ago during the Obama administration. It will continue into the new administration. What's the overarching goal of doing this?
The overarching goal is really to have people to come together to learn new perspectives, to begin to form different circles, to find out areas where we're different, where we have commonalities, and to form new connections and alliances to take action locally on things that are important, particularly around creating a culture of democracy, a cultural democracy. And what I mean by that is having a place in your local community where people feel seen, heard, belong, and included.
So you're trying to give people a voice, and you're trying to bridge divides, it sounds like. And certainly we are a very divided country right now. How can doing this, sitting in a circle with another group of people and sharing stories, how can that do that sort of work? Mm-hmm. How can that accomplish bridging divisions and really radically different points of view?
That's such a great question. With over 20 years experience in doing this type of work in cultural transformation, one of the things I can tell you is that we're not going to change the country through having what I call nasty grams on Facebook. That's not the best way of really learning about issues. It's about having people sit face to face and really see the human being part of what's going on in our local communities. In every big transformation that happens across the world, you can look about it from look back over history, is that you got to have people in the room face to face, listening deeply, hearing a different perspective.
We're going to go to your calls about the People's State of the Union in a moment at 549-2937. Now, given that we've seen the inauguration of President Trump and the day after the inauguration, protests, marches erupted around the world, the president is moving ahead with his first 100 days campaign promises, everything from building a wall, actually it'll be probably be more like a fence on the southern border, talking about bringing back waterboarding as a form of gathering intelligence, and other campaign promises that Trump supporters really like, Trump opponents really hate. Do you expect these types of issues to come up in these gatherings?
Perhaps, you know, and not only these stories that might come up as issues in terms of how people are feeling about them, but ways that people can come together and figure out how do we align ourselves to go to our representatives to really kind of push back at a lot of these policies.
What would you say to those listening who might say, well, a story circle sounds nice, but that's not going to accomplish much of anything, no matter where you stand politically?
Yeah. I know that it's hard to believe sometimes about how story circles can be something that looks at like a take action move. But again, if you kind of step back, look over time and history, I mean, that is how we get change done. We get people in a room and we talk it through and we listen.
What do you think needs to change?
Oh, well, do you have an hour and a half?
we got some time.
Well, you know, one of the things that we're facing right now in Jacksonville, of course, is the HRO. You know, that is an immediate thing that that our city is facing. We had the hearings on Tuesday. They come back on Valentine's Day. That would be the best love gift that we could give our city. It's about creating equal access and opportunity for everybody.
So that's a local issue.
That is a local issue that
you're concerned about.
I am very concerned about that. I would like to see that change. I'm pretty new to Jacksonville, been here for 4 years.
And where'd you come from?
I came from New Jersey. I'm originally from Washington, D.C. And I did do my due diligence in coming here to Jacksonville. And one of the things that attracted me to the area was the fact that it was diverse and had this population of gay and lesbian citizens. And for us to not have equal access really bothers me as a straight ally.
All right. Let's go to your calls right now. Mm-hmm. As we talk about the People's State of the Union, it will take place nationwide January 27th through February 5th. It's a first for Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. We'll tell you how you can be part of this in a few minutes. But right now, we want your calls as President Trump moves forward with his first 100 days agenda. What are your thoughts right now? 549-2937. Juan is in Orange Park. Hi, Juan. How are you? Good morning.
How you doing? Good morning.
Yeah, go ahead.
The question was, what do I think about Trump's first week in office?
Sure.
Well, I voted Trump, and I believe that what he's doing is that he's keeping his promises. Pretty much what he said that he was going to do, he's pretty much doing. Now, like, I understand the protests and everything, like, from the left, but I don't understand the violence that's within the protests.
And you're talking there were some incidents on Inauguration Day, I believe. That's what you're talking about.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, so that worries me. I'm like, what I think about is, if it's a democracy, it should be like I said, you know, have dialogue, have a peaceful protest. But it seems that there's many that are actually doing a peaceful protest, but within the group, there's those that actually hurt the protest by being violent.
All right. Thanks for the call. That's Juan down in Clay County. Yvette.
Yes. You know, violence erupts in all types of protests, whether you're protesting on the right or on the left side of the agenda. We certainly saw that type of violence during the election at some of the rallies on both sides of the table. So, you know, unfortunately, that happens when people's passions are overloaded. But what I would say to you is that where I'm in agreement is that dialogue takes place is foremost the most important thing. And we need to highlight when those dialogues take place. There is more nonviolence that happens than violence. And so I don't want us to get all wrapped up in the sensationalization of the violence, but to look at opportunities to come together and be in conversation. And that is what these story circles are about.
Yeah. And you're going to have three, one at the main library, one at the Space Gallery, two at the main library, I should say. These are, and there will be one at a private home, too.
Yeah.
We will have a little more information about that in a moment. But keep listening and calling the show right now. It's 549-2937. Rick on the West Side. Hi, Rick. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing okay. I wanted to express my absolute horror at the election of Donald Trump. I think that he resembles characterologically a lot of the people that I work with who are, you know, criminals and...
Where do you work, Rick?
And I work in mental health.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the utter disregard for the truth, the... kind of singular focus on me and mine and what I want and this sort of thing indicates to me that the man is not really sound. That being said, I think the policies that they come up will be disastrous, not only for, you know, the country, but I think the administration is going to go down in smoke. Unfortunately, it's going to take the rest of us with it. And there's going to be an enormous amount of damage done to the United States and its prestige in the process. I'm absolutely, truly horrified. And I have to say this is the first election that I've ever been involved with that I have separated from friends. On the issue. I find it difficult to deal with people who think that this process is a good way to go. I can't imagine, I can't think of anything else in my life, truly, that has made me concerned for my country.
Okay. Thanks, Rick. Thanks for that call. All righty. So first we hear from Juan.
Mm-hmm.
Look, President Trump is just keeping his promises.
Mm-hmm.
Other people see absolute ruin and they're fearful.
Right.
The divide could not be starker.
Exactly.
How on earth are you going to get people in a circle? We're trying to do it right now on this show, too, quite frankly.
Exactly.
And have a conversation where people can try to see the other's point of view.
Yeah, yeah. And we need to talk about how these fears really show up in our lives. You know, what does this mean for my day-to-day life? You know, caller one talks about keeping the promises. You know, I could make up a story about what that means to him. Keeping promises might be a fundamental value, and that's an important story to tell, and maybe that's something that we need to hear. Caller number two talks about, oh my God, you know, this is really scare me. I fear for the country. You know, how does that show up in his day-to-day life? You know, I'm interested in hearing the story and not just the scary feeling, but tell me a story about how that is impacting you on your day-to-day life.
And it may sound a little woo-woo or new agey to a lot of listeners, but there actually is data to show that the act of storytelling, there's hard science behind the therapeutic impact of storytelling.
Not only the therapeutic impact, but also this is the way that we can influence each other and to open up each other's heart for change. I mean, what do you think is happening at the UN? People are telling stories about what is happening in their countries, how, you know, different types of policies and reactions are happening. There's storytelling going on in businesses, in our government offices. This is no different. This is the people telling the stories, and this is us leading the stories. This is us uploading our stories on a national platform. So this is not just hearsay. This is about the people coming together, gathering our stories, and making our voice heard.
Let's go to Bob in St. Augustine. Hi, Bob. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Just a couple of comments. I would describe myself more as a moderate, and I didn't vote for President Trump. But a couple of things that bother me is during the inaugural speech, I listened to it carefully, and it seems like there was no attempt to try to bring the country together or to, you know, heal the wounds that the last year has come about between different parties and different beliefs politically. That bothered me somewhat. And I've always considered myself to be based in character, as far as character is an important issue with me. And I'm concerned about what it's telling our young people and our youth. I know when I was being raised and when I raised my kids, we were always told to act a certain way, respect certain things. It just seems, without sounding like I'm attacking President Trump, it just seems that what it's telling our youth these days is that you can be narcissists, rude, and mean-spirited, and you still can become president of the United States. And I just think that's a terrible message. I wish that he would start acting, and I know this is not a good term these days, but I wish he would start acting more presidential, get off of Twitter, stop letting the minor things get under his skin where he attacks people. I wish he would start basing a lot of his comments on facts instead of just rhetoric, where sure, the people that voted for him will believe whatever he says, but those of us that didn't vote for him and we're looking for someone to follow and believe in, it's going to have to be more than just what he says. It's going to have to be the spirit of what he says, and it certainly has to be the honesty of his words. And I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, but, Bob. Bob, thanks for that. Lots of calls. Let's go to Carol in Five Points now. Hey, Carol, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
Well, I'm 73 years old, and I was in the march in Washington, D.C. Last Saturday, along with, you know, 500,000 other men and women, as well as all the marches around the country and around the world. And I think now, at this point, that energy has got to be channeled into communicating with legislatures, communicating with people who might have voted for Trump. I don't think they're going to change their mind, but I think we need to be sure we're going after every false thing that he says with proof to show people. Otherwise, we have a very, very dangerous future in America.
Carol, thanks for the call. And as NPR and WJCT have reported, both President Trump and his press secretary, Sean Spicer, have said in recent days a number of false statements. That has alarmed a lot of voters. We'll continue to report on that. But your story circles are not about that.
No.
Your story circles are more geared toward fostering a community dialogue, you said, not just about the national issues, but local ones as well.
Absolutely. And as the last caller, Carol, eloquently stated, is that, you know, it's an opportunity to gather so that we can be in conversations to go to our governing bodies, you know, the people who represent us both locally and nationally, and have our voice heard. You know, this election and that march woke up a lot of people who've been sleeping. I mean, for many people in the community, I mean, for me, it's been the same old. My world hasn't changed because a lot of these things that are being raised are things I've been fighting for a long time. And so now people are waking up and going, whoa, you know, we have got to stop a lot of this rhetoric and what we're hearing, and I'm not liking what's happening. And people who normally don't speak out are starting to get concerned and say, where do I go? Coming to one of these story circles can be a first step for you to come, listen to each other, and then find your alliances, find your connection. We want to channel people into the different organizing and the different types of programs and connections with other groups that are doing some things to take action.
John on the West Side. Hi, John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I really, really love the show and appreciate what you guys are trying to do.
Thanks.
Just wanted to make a quick comment. You know, there, you go on Facebook or various other social media outlets, and there's so many incendiary comments that are made. You know, we're going to boycott this particular artist's work because they played at the inauguration or anything like that. Or if someone says, "Well, I voted for Trump or I voted for Hillary," we brand these individuals as fools and idiots and ignorant and all these things. And those are the type of things that are, you know, I think what we're talking about that need to stop happening. Because the moment that you brand someone as a fool or they're stupid because they have a different view than you, the dialogue is totally shut off. We can no longer have a conversation. We can't have a real conversation, you know. And it's very interesting to me. You know, I have African-American friends who voted for Trump. I have, you know, white-collar Republican friends who voted for Hillary because they couldn't stand for Donald Trump. And so it just, you know, we don't fit in the boxes. We're not all just Democrat and Republican. We're not all left and right. And we've got to be able to have dialogue with each other and stop just branding each other with, like I said, these incendiary terms. Just completely shut off the ability to communicate with each other. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, John.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we got to stop this thought bomb thing. That's what I call them.
Thought bomb?
Thought bombs.
What's that?
Thought bombs is that when you get on the Facebook and you're just putting these thoughts out there and just let them explode and excite energy, that is totally not helpful dialogue. It is not helping us move the agenda forward. I mean, I see Facebook as an opportunity to post and share information in terms of having conversation, as this last caller said. This is critical. Be in a room face-to-face. Half the things that are said on Facebook would not be said face-to-face.
Isn't that the truth? And so when you get people in a room together and they have to look someone in the eye that they
disagree with.
That's
a very different type of conversation.
They express themselves very differently.
Very differently.
Yeah. Carrie in San Marco. Hi, Carrie.
Yes, I just wanted to make a remark that I've been watching both sides, and I have family on both sides, strong left, strong right. And there's an exaggeration of absolutely everything. MSNBC deals serious fear, and Fox deals serious fear. And I see the fear separating everyone and stopping that dialogue. So I'm all for these circles, because they always say, agree to disagree, but don't disconnect, because that's what the powers that be want. And their arms are the media, and their arms are the media that constantly sensationalize it. Until everybody opens a book or turns on NPR, donates to NPR, and starts looking for rogue journalists that know what they're doing, you know, really great journalists, things aren't going to change. I would recommend that everybody just disconnect from DirecTV, disconnect from the other TV providers, and get rid of your TVs. Turn your money over to NPR and to newspapers that are legitimate, Miami Herald, Boston Globe, New York Times, Washington Post, and start getting involved and follow the money. That's all.
All right. Thanks, Carrie. I appreciate the support of public radio, mm-hmm. Although I guess me personally, I would encourage people to try to get your information from a variety of sources.
Right.
Okay. Josh in Springfield. Hi, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, Melissa?
Great.
I just wanted to talk about the first caller, Juan, and him talking about the violent protest. I think a lot of people don't understand why direct action is so necessary alongside peaceful protests, whether it be civil disobedience or smashing Bank of America's windows. This is a reaction to state violence. when you're going to have unarmed black people murdered in the streets unchecked for years, and now that we have videos that now that people have cell phones where this state violence can be seen, this is going to be a reaction to that. I mean, you can't murder people indiscriminately and not be punished, you know? I mean, you can't hop out of a cop car, shoot a 12-year-old, and get away with it, except you can. And that's why people take to those measures. And, I mean, I also don't understand how your reaction to state – I mean, state violence is everything from, like, it is violent to cut people's health care. That is going to result in people dying. You know, that is state violence. That is something the government is doing to us. And also, you know, escalating wars and escalating beef with China or Russia. This is state violence. And Donald Trump's kids aren't going to fight in these wars. Donald Trump's sons aren't going to go and fight ISIS. That's going to be the poor, working, middle-class whites, poor, working-class blacks and Hispanics. And that's what people need to understand, that this is a reaction. This is violence begat violence. And it doesn't. The people have to be reactionary to that. And I'm all 100% peaceful protest. But every nonviolent Gandhi, MLK, with their nonviolence, there was violence, you know? And I just wanted to point that out. I don't think a lot of people think in those terms, and maybe they could. Thank you, Melissa. Bye-bye.
Thanks for that call.
Mm-hmm.
Agree or disagree?
Well, I will never agree with violence. And so, and I respect this caller's perspective, and I think that he has a strong point. My choice is to be more on the peaceful side of that place because I, you know, again, when you look at Gandhi and you look at Martin Luther King, you know, they really did incite peaceful protests in order to shift change. And as he said, there was violence occurring around it, not out of those camps, but there was violence occurring around it.
One more call. Susan in Mandarin. Hi, Susan. Good morning.
Yes, I wanted to share a personal story, and I think I handled something wrong, and maybe you could give me some insight. I have the passion of the previous caller, although I don't agree with the idea of anything other than nonviolent protests. I don't think we should be doing any kind of destruction of property with people we disagree with. But so I was at my hair salon, and the woman that was cutting my hair says, "Oh, here I voted for Trump, and other people voted for Hillary, but we don't judge each other." And somehow it just like hit into my emotion on how sad I am and how awful Trump is and all the sexist things he said. And I just looked at her like she was the devil. She has voted into office someone that I see as a misogynist, racist, xenophobe, and I was consumed by emotion. And I said, well, I do judge you harshly, and I think less of you now, and I will never come back here. And I think I handled it wrong, but what do you do with this sad, overwhelming emotion, and someone says to you right in your face that this person is normal and I should feel okay about it? Okay, thank you.
Susan, thank you.
Oh,
and in light of the incredibly strong emotions that we're seeing around the country,
mm-hmm.
people feeling so upset or conversely so elated and can't understand why the other side is so upset. How on earth, as you kick this off, Yvette, how are you going to handle all of this?
You know, we need these spaces for people to come together to slow down and do some deep listening. You know, I hope this caller comes, the last caller comes to a story circle, because a big part of this is to find her allies and friends and people who connect with her. People need safe spaces to have these kinds of conversations. And unless we slow ourselves down to be able to be deep listeners for listening to the other perspective, we really have to listen and hear and develop this empathy and space to really hear a different perspective.
These story circle dates are coming up. There's one this Saturday at the main library, 11:30 a.m.
Not 10:30.
Okay.
10:30 to 12:30. That's happening at the Makerspace at the main library. And we also have one that's on February 1st at the Dolores Bar Weaver Policy Center at the DuPont Center. That's on February 1st from 6 to 7:30. And we have one at the Space Gallery That's going to be on Thursday, next Thursday, February 2nd. Now, the fun one about that one, we're going to make art and then tell stories. So that one's a little bit different. And then we're back at the library on February 3rd from 3:30 to 5:30.
And to reserve your seat, just call 372-3771.
Yes.
Yvette Hyatt-Adams, thank you.
Thank you, Melissa.
Well, later, a special treat as we welcome comedian Paul Rodriguez. But up next, how to reduce your chances of heart disease. Back in a moment.
Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is a place to experience Christ's presence and God's Spirit in a vibrant faith community. HAB celebrates diversity, seeks to bridge differences, and journeys together in an honest and authentic search for truth. HABchurch.com. Find a different way of being Baptist.
Metro Rooter specializes in residential plumbing, including tub, faucet, and toilet repairs and replacement. Emergency plumbing 7 days a week with Saturdays considered the same as weekdays. Proud of their many longtime employees, Metro Rooter also recycles for a healthier planet. MetroRooter.com. On February 14th, the full Jacksonville City Council is expected to take up a controversial change to the city's human rights ordinance. Join WJCT for a live, interactive, televised discussion on February 8th as a panel explores the division over the expansion of Jacksonville's human rights ordinance protections for the LGBT community. Log on to wjct.org/events/community-thread to submit your questions or to RSVP to be part of our studio audience on February 8th.
Welcome back. A new report finds U.S. life expectancy has declined for the first time in decades. Fatalities rose among 8 of the top 10 leading causes of death, in particular heart disease. Dr. Samuel Oza is here now. He's the chief of cardiology at St. Vincent's Medical Center in Riverside. Some ideas about how we can get that number going in the other direction and you can reduce your heart disease risk. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
This is really alarming. Americans are now expected to live about 78 years. That's a decrease over the last year. Overall life expectancy is going down for Americans.
Sure, yeah. It's
not up, which is
not up.
Very
yeah,
unusual.
It's unusual. Last time this happened was in the early 90s during the HIV epidemic. But for the most part, over the past decade or so, things have been fairly flat. Mm-hmm. This is the first time we've seen actually a downward tick, but it's kind of, it looks like we're reaching that point where, you know, the things that with our lifestyles and the things that we're doing are catching up with us.
Right. And while deaths from cancer, for example, are going down, heart disease deaths going up by about 1%. And you think, and the data shows, it's mainly due or largely due to the obesity epidemic in America.
Absolutely. Our sedentary lifestyle, the fact that we don't really move around a lot, the fact that we go for very convenient foods, which are often very processed, high in sodium, high in salt, high in sugar, high in fat, are our foods of choice now. So we've definitely become a very high-calorie, low movement society, which tends to lead to obesity. Unfortunately, obesity also leads to all kinds of other diseases, such as heart disease, like you mentioned, diabetes, high blood pressure, stroke, things like that, that all impact the life expectancy.
And once people land in your office, they're already well on the path toward having some serious health problems. You want to emphasize prevention.
Absolutely. There are so many things that we can do to change the course of this this trend. The first being just getting more active, exercising 4 to 5 times a week, 30 to 45 minutes, doing some moderate exercise. There's even studies that show even gradually increasing this, even exercising twice a week more vigorously can actually impact your life expectancy.
What's harder for your patients, changing their diet or getting out and exercising? What's the harder change?
In this part of the country, the South, diet is a key. I mean, my patients come from South Georgia and Jacksonville, and they're good old Southern people that like their Southern foods. So unfortunately, those are high in fat, often fried, Sweet tea is a big culprit for the sugar that people consume here, but even soft drinks, things like that, also are a big factor. So just cutting out some of those things gradually in your diet can make a huge impact.
And when you get that message, when you sit your patients down and tell them that, how difficult is it for them to make the change?
Well, by the time they get to me, unfortunately, they've experienced a lot of the negative effects of their choices throughout their life. So at that point, they're often ready to make a change because they don't want to feel the way they do. But you know, our goal obviously is to get people, well significantly prior to that point, and get them to change their lifestyle in not so drastic a manner, so that they don't have to do that in the future.
We're almost into February. It's Heart Awareness, Heart mm-hmm. Health Awareness Month. Correct. So we'll be talking about this some more next month on the show. But it really can't be stressed enough.
No, you're right. I mean, there's some really key points, such as, you know, really working on changing your diet gradually. Sugar is an extremely addictive substance. I often tell my patients it's more addictive than cocaine. You're not alone if it's difficult for you to, you know, change your diet, because a lot of the foods that we have, because of certain political factors that made low fat such an important message that we've been sending people, sugar has largely been ignored. Companies have been adding lots of sugar to their foods to make it taste good, to make it sell. And it's led to this addiction, this national addiction that we have.
So people need to really read labels before they eat.
Absolutely.
Eat less processed food, less soft drinks, move more. It's common sense.
It's common sense.
We got to keep getting the message out, don't we?
Yeah, implement. Yeah.
He's Dr. Samuel Oza, Chief of Cardiology at St. Vincent's Medical Center in Riverside. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And up next, a special treat, comedian Paul Rodriguez and his son, too. Keep listening.
I'm Joshua Johnson. Next time on 1A, where do you see Muslims on television other than the news? A number of comedies, dramas, and documentaries are painting a deeper picture than just of extremists out to destroy America. Muslims on TV, part of our new series, Big Screen, Small Screen, highlighting the most interesting shows, dramas, and documentaries on whatever screen you prefer. Weekdays at 11 on 89.9 WJCT.
Samora Pender Hughes has a message.
I'm not trying to just sit at my piano and write music. I'm trying to say, how can I be most of use?
Next time on Jazz Night in America, the young composer, pianist, activist takes his transformation suite to his hometown of Berkeley, California. It's music, poetry, and a call to action. I'm Christian McBride.
Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Thursdays at 11 p.m. on 89.9 WJCT.
Hi, this is Chris Thiele, inviting you to join us this weekend for a Prairie Home Companion with our guests, Lake Street Dive, Irish comic Maeve Higgins, Nashville's Margot Price, and yes, the one, the only Mr. Jack White. All this plus the Royal Academy of Radio Actors, that's Tim Russell, Serena Brooke, and sound effects man Fred Newman, also my Song of the Week, and the First Call Radio Players will be there, and you'll just have to tune in.
Saturday evenings at 6 on 89.9 WJCT.
Today's segment with Carrie Speckman is brought to you in part by Blue Bamboo Asian Kitchen.
Welcome back. Well, in just a moment, we're going to speak with comedian and actor Paul Rodriguez and his opening act, Sean Latham, in town at the Comedy Club of Jacksonville. Now, that is just one amazing option for your weekend. But first, here she is every Thursday to take us all around town. We welcome the mistress of mayhem, the maven of mirth, thespectator.com's Carrie Speckman.
Yay!
Here today.
Yay!
Ooh, you're you're getting applause from Paul Rodriguez.
Even. Oh, I did. Didn't even notice.
Did you get a selfie with Paul Rodriguez?
Do you know me at all?
Of course I do. I know. I figured that was your first order of business.
Nice. Can we take a selfie?
Yeah, that's what I did. We'll talk to him in a moment. But first, what's going on this weekend?
We have Best Restaurants Bash, second annual. It is to benefit Ronald McDonald House. And it has some of my personal favorite restaurants, Gilbert's Social, Moxie, Black Sheep, Bistro X, Blue Bamboo.
Uh-huh.
And it is at the DuPont Center. You get samples of all this fabulous food from our wonderful local restaurants.
That's tonight.
Tonight.
Very nice.
Also, Lee Bryce and Justin Moore, country superstars.
They'll be at the arena tonight?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, you've got a long list.
I know.
So can I cherry pick your incredible list?
Okay. Pick my cherry, girl.
Carrie Speckman. Okay, it's tonight, the Jacksonville Short Film Showcase and Contest. This is going on at Sunray Cinema.
Correct. They're all locally made films, and the audience votes on who the winners are.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is something I want to mention. They were on the show yesterday, but I want to just give them another little plug. Violins of Hope.
I know.
Have you heard about this?
Yes. I'm so sad I can't go.
Yeah. This is a concert featuring 16 violins that were recovered and restored from the Holocaust. Prisoners in concentration camps would be forced to play the violin. And this violin maker that we interviewed yesterday, he found all these violins, restored them. They're going to be performing this Saturday at the Symphony. There's an exhibit about Anne Frank also going on at the Mosh. There's a lot happening.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very sad. I'm going to miss it. But okay. Yeah. And they're playing with the Symphony.
Yeah. Okay, Megyn Kelly is coming to town.
She
is. No longer with Fox News.
On Monday.
Yeah.
I'm sure that will be a very interesting part of the Florida Forum to benefit the Women's Board of Wilson.
Right. She's now with NBC.
Yeah, that will be a very interesting evening. It's at Times Union Center.
Yeah, they're bringing her in. I think they're also
bringing in
Tim Tebow and Ben Carson.
Oh, that's
who just
right.
He's now in the process of being confirmed as HUD secretary.
I wonder if he'll actually come then.
Exactly. He may have to cancel.
Remember, they had Lance Armstrong scheduled one time.
Okay, and on a completely different note, yeah. Kenny Rogers is coming to town.
His final. I've had The Gambler in my head all day long. I don't even know why. Don't worry, I won't sing it.
You won't?
But it's his
last
tour. Probably a real one, not like Cher and the Eagles and their final tour. Like, this is probably his final. And it's at Thrasher Horn Center in Orange Park.
Do you want to stick around and help me interview Paul Rodriguez?
Doy.
Okay. I figured you would want to. Okay.
I'm not going anywhere.
Because there's another idea for your weekend that we're going to talk about finally this hour. Remember that theme song? AKA Pablo. Remember? Yeah. He's been entertaining the world for decades and was ranked among the top 100 stand-ups of all time by Comedy Central. Paul Rodriguez also has dozens of TV and film credits, everything from Born in East L.A. to DC Cab, even Ali, and his directorial debut, A Million to One. Rodriguez, also an established writer and producer. Paul Rodriguez is appearing tonight through Saturday at the Comedy Club of Jacksonville. He joins us now along with his opening act, Sean Latham. Hey, guys.
Sean Latham and I are here with a thing called Guitars of Shame. These are guitars that have been used at strip clubs, and these guitars have seen it all.
You worked that up. Giving this like serious little props to Violins of Hope. But, you're quick. You're good.
I'm not putting down that that's a very worthy cause. But,
no, I know.
But these guitars that I have seen an awful lot of nudity. And I have pasted them with pictures of the nudes they've seen. And
you painstakingly restored these guitars.
One by one.
One by one.
One breast at a time. I like to keep abreast of things. And these guitars are wonderful because they basically have the shape of a woman, the nice curves.
Uh-huh.
And I just went ahead and put a wig on top of that where the strings are. And then I strum them.
And it works out for you. Yeah.
It really does. I hit nice tunes with them.
All right, you got to open up for this guy. What's your strategy?
My strategy is to go have a good time, and then he just does his work. I just go. I have a great great time with the crowd, and then just watch one of the best of all time do it.
Yeah, you really, Paul. You really have an incredible fan base, and it's exciting to have you on the show. Now, you've got a lot of material to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot going on in the country right now.
We're living in very turbulent times, you know. I mean,
yeah.
The election of President Trump surprised everyone.
What did you think about that? Because you're a Republican, and you've been open about that.
Yes. I've been ostracized from my family, basically.
Have you?
I think that if I had to do it all over again, I'd keep it to myself. I'm really not a political comedian, and I find politics rather boring and austere. You know, there's no winning side. Uh-huh. But I will say this to those who disagree with my point of view. I don't preach my point of view in my set. You know, when I do a show, I'm not there to change your religion, or I'm not there to change your mind. I'm there to entertain you, make you laugh. Yeah. And I find a lot of meanness now in comedy, and it shouldn't be there, you know, because the object, the purpose for any stand-up is to not insult the crowd, but to entertain them, you know,
sure.
Let them forget whatever there is.
They want to laugh and lighten up a little.
And any comic who doesn't make their audience laugh shouldn't be a comic. You should return that money. That's thievery, you know. You have to steal a dime, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I've always find places like Jacksonville very stimulating, you know. A lot of times I just like to walk around, and people ought to be proud of the boredom here, you know, because... You know, excitement is over.
You're tossing shade at us now.
No. It's the absolute truth. You know, I mean, some cities are too busy. You know, they're too busy with gun violence and tickets and police.
Oh, we
and
got
marches.
The gun violence.
You know, you do, but you don't have it in the extremes that I grew up with. You know, I grew up in Compton. I think we practically invented it there. You know, and now exported other places. But it was a different time. I always found humor an escape for me. You know, a place to go in my own mind. And you know, and it's everywhere. You know, you don't have to sit around and try to think of something deep and philosophical to make people laugh. I mean, comedy's right in front of you. It's as close as your nose.
What's making you laugh right now?
Well, the attitude, the divisiveness of the country. You know, people are so adamant. You know, celebrities who talk vehemently about topics they know nothing about. You know, just because you're a celebrity or you're known doesn't mean you have any extra brain cells. And it's embarrassing sometimes to see these comedians who really, or not only comedians, but people who really don't know what they're talking about very fundamental things of just a line or two that they read somewhere. You know, I mean, the truth is that we should give. I'm not a big supporter, but I think I'm fair to say that we should give Mr. Trump a chance. I mean, we gave Mr. Obama a chance, and truth be told, history will tell us whether he did a good job. I personally think that he didn't do such a good job. The economy didn't repair, and yet we're not crucifying him. You know, it's a tough job. Personally, who'd want to be president? You know, I mean, Mr. Obama came into office looking like Denzel Washington, and he left looking like Uncle Ben on the rice box. I mean, that should tell
it
everybody.
It has a way of aging people,
of course.
Yeah, they go out pretty darn gray.
Every problem in the whole world comes to rest on them. I think the best punishment for if you are an anti-Trump, President Trump, detractor, I guess the best punishment is that he did get elected, and he's going to leave looking like the Crypt Keeper, I think, you know. So, you know, that job itself has hardships, but because he is the president of the United States.
You've looked about the same, meanwhile, for like 20-plus years. What's your secret?
I'm Mexican. You know, we don't... You know,
You're God, Mexican.
That's basically my secret, you know, genetics. You know, God said, you guys want rent paid, or you guys want a credit, or you want to look good? And we went for the good looking good.
All right. How about you, Sean? What about you? Now, tell me how you're going to set your act, because your job is to really get the audience warmed up for this guy. And also get your name out there too.
So what are you asking me? How am I?
See, no, that's the best. Even if you didn't understand the question, you should just start talking. You know, say, well, she's asking.
Sorry,
you,
did I not ask that right?
He's asking you. How do you prepare for this idiot in front of you? For this behind you?
I would never say that. But
well, there's no preparation really. You know, it's a completely separate time. I mean, I go up there, we have a great time, and then you know they know Paul. They come there. And Paul's just
so
funny.
I'll take it from here, Sean. Sean's not that funny, but he has a really beautiful sister. That's all I'll say.
That's how this happened.
I keep giving him that job.
Let me ask you, too. I read this morning that you, Paul Rodriguez, with your old friend Cheech Marin, you're developing a single-camera comedy. It's going to star you and your son. He's a professional skateboarder, Paul Rodriguez Jr.
Yes, my son is a beefcake. You know, I'm going to use him. He's a good-looking boy, thanks to his mom. And he's a champion, a skateboarder. He's won the X Games more than anyone else. He's got his own Nike shoe.
Very cool.
He's making a lot of money. So I'm going to use that boy as he used me.
He's going to take care of you in your old age.
Yeah, it's basically a comedy that I guess women might feel left out. But it's basically a man's world. And our comedy is three guys who are related, don't know each other, and they're in therapy. And we're basically going to try to, you know, as much as you can get off the envelope with the NBC, they're still very conservative, but we're going to try to push that envelope to the point that we might not even make the air. We just got the opportunity to go to a pilot. It's about three generations in the way we view the world.
Is it going to be a grandfather, dad, and son?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a Latino show, they say, but we really, I mean, my son doesn't even speak Spanish. Cheech plays a part of a cop. You know, his father in real life was a police officer, and he's very conservative, and he's going to be like that. You know, we don't agree on anything, and we don't agree on women's rights. We're kind of stuck in our
own
generation.
These are the characters.
The characters are a lot like the people portraying the characters.
Okay.
You know? For example, our view on gun control is you know, Cheech is a cop. He believes you should carry one. I believe that if the other guy doesn't have one, you should have one, and my son is totally against it. So. The things we talk about are going to be minutiae, ordinary things. But I think that the best comedy comes in that, you know, the Seinfeldian kind of attitude where, you know, you would talk about that hair that sticks on the shower, you know. It doesn't change the world, but it's funny. We're going to talk about things that are small and yet very important in our lives.
What's this show going to be called? Do you have a title yet?
We're going to call it Gen Mex or 3Gen. We don't know yet. The family tree.
Gen Mex,
you know, kind of sounds like a...
Oh, Spectator likes that. She's a card-carrying Gen Xer.
What
like
I'm going to do is I'm going to just have the audience name it, you know. We'll call it That Show or something else. The thing that we do want everybody to know is that it's going to make you laugh, and it has nothing to do with us being Latinos. It has a lot to do with us being men and being terrible men, men who... who don't have any women around them. That's what makes us terrible, you know. We're always pursuing. I think the first episode we sit around and we wonder if my son's looking at us and he's looking into our ears and we have hair inside our ears and my son's wondering, is that all I'm going to leave him at? You know, is he going to get hair? And we make a whole episode about the thickness of the hair and the older you are. And I think people should not watch this while they're eating, but but hopefully they'll laugh, you know.
They'll laugh, and they're going to laugh this weekend. You guys are coming. Now, it's your first show tonight at Comedy Club on Beach Boulevard?
Yes,
tonight. Yeah.
Tonight. 8 o'clock tonight?
Tonight, 8 o'clock.
I don't know the city too well, but you'll see us. We'll be out there hawking tickets out in the street, you know, juggling. And
you're going to get like a guy dancing out on the corner
whatever
with a
takes.
Sign.
If not, we'll do this show at a strip club. I understand Jacksonville is famous for strip clubs.
I hear they do a nice chicken sandwich at Wacko's. It's right across the bridge. Yeah, you know, yeah. Very nice chicken sandwich there, I've heard. In addition to the dancing young women.
Go for the food and stay for the glorious, you know, valet preparedness of them.
Well, it's a pleasure. And
it's my pleasure.
Thank you both so much for being here. Paul Rodriguez, also with his opening act, Sean Latham.
Sean Latham, listen, if you're Caucasian, you got to see Sean Latham. I have been learning how to be white from him. The man is extremely Caucasian. He's critically Caucasian, as you can see. You know,
is this true?
This is what the Vikings had in mind.
You're not saying anything.
Of course.
You're very Caucasian. Yeah,
this is the Aryan. This is what Hitler had in mind. he's basically his wet dream. He is white as can be, and I'm critically brown. So I think we have a nice mixture there. You know.
Okay, this is just a little preview of the fun you're going to have when you come out and see these guys tonight through Saturday.
Look, if you're a protester, come and protest.
Comedy Club of Jacksonville. Get your tickets now. They are right there on Beach Boulevard. Paul Rodriguez, Sean Latham, thanks so much, you guys.
I thank you
Yay.
So much.
Yay! Great to have you on the show. And that is our show. We'll be back tomorrow at 9 with our media roundtable. I'm Melissa Ross, and this has been First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT-FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.